Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Because yeah. It can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hey, I'm Ann.
And I'm Kendra. And you're listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. We are streaming on AFA Streaming. We are on YouTube. We are on Facebook. We are podcasts. Come connect with us. We would love to just go with you on this journey of life, whatever it is that you're going through, whether that be infertility or miscarriage or building your family through adoption. This show is specifically designed to help you cling to Christ in the middle of that journey. And we have a really special episode today, don't we, Ann?
We do. I always feel like when we get ready for our Mother's Day episode, it not wears on us, but like
you feel the heaviness.
Yes, we know what this episode could mean to a lot of women, a lot of couples who are still struggling with infertility. And even it always takes me back to when I was. And so, yeah, getting ready for this show, and we always like to add songs that we would listen to. I mean, I still listen to these songs, but it helps me go back to what those feelings used to be.
Yeah, and it's a reminder of God's faithfulness, because like that was a really dark, you hear a little tidbit of a song we're going to play here in a minute. We normally don't play songs on this, but we talked about how songs really ministered to us through our time of infertility and our ongoing journey to build our families. And sometimes a song that ministered to me before, I'll hear it again, and it's like it brings my heart right back to God's faithfulness. So for those of you that are listening, we know Mother's Day is super hard. This is not going to be a downer episode of just talking about all the awful. Like this is an episode that's going to hopefully leave you pumped up, saying, God is awesome. I can trust Him.
I can't wait to celebrate. Because we can still celebrate even without our kiddos, you know, in our laps, because we all have mamas. And, you know, hopefully we can celebrate those mamas or the mamas that stood in our lives where maybe a mama lacked.
Maybe to take a little dread away from the Mother's Day's around the corner and allow you, like, we get it if you need to stay at home from church on Sunday.
I've already said that is just how I handled it.
But to still be able to say, this is the day that the Lord has made.
Right.
I will rejoice and be glad in it. Because did you know Jesus said that? That's referring to the day of His crucifixion, I think, or like the context of what the day, like it's talking, it's not like, oh, just every day. Like if He can rejoice through tribulation, surely we can too.
For sure.
So buckle up. We got some music for you and a bunch of scriptures. Let's just jump on in. I've got a song I'd love to share. Have you heard Thy Will by Hillary Scott?
So I don't think
to me sending to you it.
Before you sent it to me.
A text message.
But so good. So I can't wait for the listeners to hear it, because it spoke to me already. So
true story. I looked up the behind the scenes of the song, and the author, Hillary Scott, was walking through a miscarriage when she wrote this.
Oh, wow.
After struggling with infertility. I did not know that when I was listening to the song, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is exactly what I, like if I could boil down into a nutshell what my heart was feeling when my husband and I struggled with our miscarriage, to like lean upon the character and goodness of God when it doesn't feel that way, it is this song. So Mark, will you go ahead and roll that? Thanks so much.
Try to pray, all I got is her and these four.
some of you need to say that in your heart right now. I know you hear me. I know you see me, Lord. Your plans are for me. Good news you have in store. Like, almost we're speaking to our spirit, like David in the Psalms would say, why so downcast, oh my soul? Put your hope in God. Sometimes we have to do that with worship songs. We have to say what we know to be true about God, which even if it's contrary to what we feel. Anything in that song stand out to you?
So I was actually wrong when I said I had not heard that song. I have not heard the other song that you're going to play.
Oh, gotcha.
I had not heard that one. This one definitely spoke to me during the time. And honestly, it's the part that says something about you are God and I am not.
I got to remember that you're God and I'm not yet.
Yes. I just remember listening to this. I think it might have been the first time. I guess the first time I really listened to it as someone struggling with infertility. Mm-hmm. And when she said that, that's for some reason, like, I know I'm not God, but for some reason it's hard to admit that when something's not going your way, when you're taking all these medicines, when you're doing all these tests, when you're doing IUIs, we never did IVF, but like when you know that that is about to come into your picture, to have a baby, and like literally all that could end up meaning nothing if you don't acknowledge that I'm not God.
Yeah.
So even with all of those things I just mentioned, this still might not happen.
Yeah.
Because I'm not God. I need to realize that you are.
Mm.
And so for some reason, I remember when I heard that and I was like, she put that in a beautiful song.
Yeah. And that the chorus, the thy will be done part, like that brings me back to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane saying, Lord, if it's possible at this cup,
please take
but
from me,
let thy will be done.
Yeah.
You know, and like if Jesus can say thy will be done and he meant I'm willing to go to the cross if that's your will. He set an example for us to be able to say in the middle of our trial, like at the end of the day, thy will be done. Like this is a song that's like hashtag goals. Like sometimes I sing it and I'm like, I don't know if I really mean that.
I actually mean that.
But I want to mean it. Lord, help me mean it. Because God sees the end result and knows what's ultimately best for us. I love that the author of this song, you can like from the beginning you can hear her confusion. I'm so confused. Like, and I love that she's like, I thought that I heard you loud and clear, but somehow I ended up here. Like, I felt like that with a lot of the fertility treatments that we had that we Eric and I prayed about, and we felt like, oh, he led us to this clinic. We saved up this money, he provided, he like opened door, and then wham, a miscarriage. And it was like,
What was all that for?
Did we not hear from you? Like, it made me doubt my ability to hear from God. And then I had to come to the conclusion, like, she says, I may never understand that my broken heart is a part of your plan. Ouch. That doesn't mean that God meant that God caused that miscarriage or that thing, but it meant that he knew it ahead of time and he already was working a way to turn that for good.
For sure.
And so, like, but knowing that is like, I've got to accept that aspect of God that he knows. Like what you said, he's God and I'm not. So there's something he sees in this situation that is far above me. I was thinking about this song on the way here this morning. And my daughter, Eliana, when you do parent and things come out of your mouth that you thought you would never say, you know, and you're like, wow, like don't bite the cat, you know, you're like, wow, okay, I just said that. So, but you also, it's like this, like God is constantly convicting my heart.
She's like 2 years old.
Oh, it's coming. But God is constantly convicting my heart out of things that I say to my daughter. And so there was something the other day she got her hands on. And it was new, and she'd never played with it. And she's like, ooh. And I could tell, like, her eyes lit up, and I turned. And I was like, no. And I snatched it out of her hands and just total meltdown. And, of course, from her perspective, it's like, I've been trying to get to this thing. Why would you take this away from me? Like, you don't love me. Like, I could see the hurt on her face. And what I said to her was, toilet brushes are not chew toys, Eliana.
Jane, you know? Has been there, done that.
And I'm like, from my perspective, you're going to thank me later because that is gross and that's disgusting and it's going to make you sick and you don't know better. But that's bad. That is bad, Eliana. And like, I don't know. It just, God knows the whole circumstances. He knows ultimately that sometimes he might let us go through a season of pain, but if it's for our ultimate good, like, he is God and we are not. He's our daddy. He's looking after us and trusting in I love the line, I know you're good, but this don't feel good. It's not correct English, but you know. Yeah, sometimes in the middle of it not feeling good, we have to trust that he knows what's good for us. He's a father God who cares for his children.
Yeah, sometimes I think that's all he's actually calling us to do is just admit that.
Yeah.
Like, I know that you're still good. I know that you're still God, but God, this doesn't feel good, you know. And we've talked about that plenty of times on here, just being vulnerable, you know, with the Lord. Like, he does know all, but there's something different when you take your hurts and your pains and your frustrations to God and say them out loud, and, you know, admit them to him. I feel like that's when my relationship was able to grow in that way, where I was able to look at him more. Father is always definitely a correct word, but like almost like a daddy.
Yes.
You know, and to view him in that unconditional love way, you know.
Will you have any songs for us today?
Oh, for sure.
What you got?
I think that if we could play Find You Here by Ellie Holcomb first.
It's not the news that any of us hoped that we would hear. It's not the road we would have chosen. Thing that we can see is darkness up ahead, but you're asking us to lay our worry down and sing a song instead.
So this song means so much to me. I had gone actually with Rochelle, if y'all, I don't remember what episode.
Special guest on Hannah's Heart
a few months back. And she is just one of my dear, dear friends. And she had asked me to go to Louisiana with her to see Lisa Turkhurst at a conference. And Ellie Holcomb played music at that conference. This was literally right before COVID outbreak.
Oh, wow.
Like, we were still at the conference, like all of us together, and we were hearing about this, like, what COVID was at the time. It was still called Corona. And so we were like, you know, what are we even talking about? I come home and I find out what we're talking about. But anyway, at this conference, Ellie started singing this song, and I just started bawling because whenever she got to the part, I mean, of course, it's not the news that any of us hoped that we would hear. Like, no one expects, hopes that we're going to hear, hey, you might not be able to have a baby.
Yeah, that diagnosis.
Right. It's not a road we would have chosen. Like, if I could have looked back on my life and God would have said, hey, do you want to struggle with infertility or no? I probably wouldn't have chosen that, you know? Now, looking back, I can say, like, I'm thankful for walking through that. But at the time, no, I would not have chosen that. And yeah, at times it does seem like the only thing we can see is darkness, because we can't see those answers, you know, that we're hoping for. We just experienced another miscarriage, another failed IUI, you know, another diagnosis. And so, but then she says, but you're asking us to lay our worry down and sing a song instead. And so then she goes into, I didn't know I'd find you here in the middle of my deepest fear. And so all of a sudden it was like, I realized, this is my deepest fear. What I'm living in right now. I never ever thought I would be here. I never thought to be scared of this. And so when she started seeing that, that is when it hit me. Like, God, I'm living in fear that I never thought I would find myself in. And so After this, my friend Rochelle, she bought me and her the same DVD, and so I just listened to it over and over and over again, because there's plenty of other wonderful songs on that CD, if anyone still listens to CDs these days, or on YouTube, I guess. It's throughout the song, you know, I'm going to still lift my voice and sing, because you were drawing near. You know, you're overwhelming me with peace. And so it's just almost like a prayer. I feel like I ended up being able to say, as so many days passed by during that time.
Mm-hmm. That, what you said about encountering your deepest fear and then encountering God in that moment is so true. Like, I definitely had through my journey with infertility this anxiety that was kind of always weighing on me of what if this doesn't work? What if that doesn't work? Right. And one time I let my mind go through the what if none of it works? What if, and even, you know, because you have, as women, we have our plan A, B, and then like it goes all the way through the English alphabet and into other languages.
We've got plenty of plans.
My mind was so busy. It was so busy. It's like, okay, we're going to try this fertility treatment, then this medicine, then this, and then we're going to go to this. And then, you know, it's like, okay, well, if the Lord needs us to adopt, we'll adopt. But then I got to worrying, well, what if we don't get placed for an adoption? Mm-hmm. You know, my husband's a wheelchair user. I was like, what if nobody picks us? Mm-hmm. What if I have to steal somebody else's child? I would never do that. You know, but I'm literally thinking, what if there is no child at the end of this journey? And when I went to that deepest fear and encountered that God was still going to be with me and that I could still love him and I could still find joy and hope, that was when I started to find freedom, where it was like, okay, you know what? I can lay this worry down, because I know the God that's on the other side of this journey. Scriptures for anxiety are limitless in the Bible. Like, go.
For sure. Just Google them.
Yes. There's one from Proverbs 12:25. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad. Make sure you have people that are speaking good words into your life and not just the negative. And like when you get into fertility, like a lot of times the doctors want to be honest with you and they're going to tell you the odds, but it just feels like, you know, just negative, negative. Another verse about anxiety or worry, Isaiah 35:4, say to those with the anxious heart, take courage, fear not, behold, your God will come with vengeance. I thought about not sharing this one at first because I was like, wow, the first part's really inspirational. Like, take courage, fear not, God will be with you. And then I was like, and then it gets a little dark there. He will come with vengeance. But then I started thinking, well, like, who is he coming against vengeance? Like, any enemy of the Lord. And what is the enemy of the Lord in your life? Is it the enemy speaking fear, speaking death, speaking worry? Like, God, like, take courage, fear not. God is going to come with vengeance against that enemy of the mind.
Yeah. For sure. I had a few scriptures that I found to share. One, 1 Peter 5:6-7, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. And I feel like we've heard that verse plenty of times, but it's one of those, like, if you actually stop and think what that actually means, you know, humbling ourselves requires us, like what we were just talking about, to be vulnerable and to tell God, you know, what's going on, what we're afraid of, what we're actually thinking. You know, it says that God's hand is mighty. He will lift you up in due time. In due time, that time will come. You know, I don't know what that time looks like for all of our listeners, but it will. It'll come.
Here's a scripture for anyone who's struggling with loneliness, because in the middle of infertility, you feel like, I'm the only person that is dealing with this and I'll never have a family. Which, first of all, if you're married, you already do have a family.
You do have a family.
Psalm 73:23-26. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterwards, you will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. He is enough. That portion means, it doesn't mean like, oh, meager rations. It means more sufficient supply for you. So he is continually with you. You are not alone. Did you have another scripture?
Sure. I have Romans 12:12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Pretty simple. But when we say to be joyful in hope whenever it feels like all hope is lost, that's a lot harder to do. And then when I would read through verses like that, I would think of the story of Sarah and Abraham because, you know, it said that Sarah laughed whenever she overheard God saying, like, Sarah's going to have a baby. Because whenever I hear those things and you're in the depths of whatever you're in, for me, it was infertility and miscarriage. It's almost like you chuckle, like, what hope? What are you talking about, hope? Patient in affliction. So when you're going through that, you want me to be patient, you know, as I'm going through this, and faithful in prayer. And yeah, if I could say any encouraging thing is to always feel like you can go to the Lord because you can, you can. And so please keep getting on your knees and meeting him because he's there. He's with us all the time.
Another hope-filled verse is Lamentations 3:22-24. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. It's because of his steadfast love. And I love that new every morning. So much of fertility is like, you know, checking and monitoring yourself in the morning. So for that woman that's doing that every morning, his steadfast love is new every morning.
Yeah.
Should we play one more song? What do you think?
Sure.
Let's go ahead and try The Waiting by Jamie Grace. Waiting's hard, isn't it? And that's the hardest part. If I just knew how it was going to end,
I could hold on to that. That is.
Well, he's the God of the wait, though, isn't he?
That's right. And that he's with you in the wait, even when it does feel really lonely. So we'll be praying for our listeners this Mother's Day. We're not just saying that. We really will be. I had a friend the other day still in the waiting, and she said, and to be honest, I am just really dreading this Mother's Day. And I just remember feeling that way. I am just really dreading this Mother's Day. And so for all of our listeners feeling that way, we're praying for you. And that takes me back to those exact feelings.
He's a faithful God. Hang on there. Hang on to his goodness.
Right, for sure. We love y'all and thank y'all for listening in. We will see you next week.
Keep listening for the rest of our May programs as we highlight Foster Care Awareness Month. God bless you this Mother's Day, and thank you for listening to Hannah's Heart.